praises to your name, oh Lord. For your name is greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great, greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your for last. He saves the best for last. He saves the best for last. Oh. Latter rain, latter rain, latter rain, latter rain. Latter rain, latter rain. We call it forth, we call it forth. Breathe on us, breathe on us, breathe on us, breathe on us. All dead things come to life. All dead things come to life. Oh, dead things come to life. We speak to the dead things. We say, wake up. We say, wake up. We say, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Divine healing, healing, healing. Divine healing, healing, healing. Let minds be made whole. Let bodies be made whole. We speak to the mountain. We say, be removed. Be removed, be removed. Make a straight path for God. Let the highway of the Lord, let the highway of the Lord, let the highway of the Lord be made straight. Let the body of Christ come into its rightful position and inheritance. Let everything be returned to the body of Christ that's been stolen. Has your joy been stolen? Has your peace been stolen? Has your health been stolen? The enemy must return it. Return it, return it, return it. Everything in the enemy's camp must be returned to the people of God. Everything, 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 everything. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your anointing and the power of your spirit that's in this house right now to open blind eyes, to wake the dead, to heal bodies, to move through, to balance out chemicals in people's minds. We come against mental anguish and depression and anxiety, and we tell you, you have to go. You have to go. You have to go. Spirits of infirmity, you have to go. Spirits of isolation, you have to go. Everything has to go in the name of Jesus. For we have seen a bright light. A bright light has come. So when Pastor Jeff was speaking, it was September 8th, I texted him in the morning and I said that God was shaking me in my bed. I was just shaking in my bed, and he was saying, bring all the broken pieces to me. He said, bring all the broken pieces to me. And my mind went through my life from the time that I could remember all the way up until the present. And all the stuff, you know, just all the anxiety and all the loss and all that. And he said, just bring it to my feet. He said, bring it to my feet. And I heard something in the back of the room today, and it was this. Brokenness precedes resurrection. And I'm telling you something, in this era that we're in now, that God is going to be moving through broken vessels. He's not going to be moving through people that have it all together. He's going to be moving through broken vessels. The anointing and the power of God moves through broken pieces. It moves through broken places. So do not be afraid of your brokenness. Many of you today are in this house right now and you say, I am broken, I am broken, I am broken. You're exactly where Jesus wants you. He wants to pour out of your brokenness. He doesn't want to pour out of one of your strengths. Because when you're weak, he's made strong. All the rejection, betrayal, fear, depression, panic, all who had wronged and I had wronged and wronged me, all the broken dreams, every pain, every period of suffering, times of loss and times of stress, he wants it all. And then I heard him say, nothing will be wasted. Not one single tear will go to waste. He said, I will restore all things. This is the inheritance of the body of Christ, that he will inherit, he will restore all things. In Joel 1:1-4, this is what it said. It said, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days? Or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and let their children another generation. What the chewing locust left, what the swarming locust had eaten, what the swarming locust left, the crawling locust had eaten, and what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust had eaten. Judah had been completely devastated, completely decimated. Judah had come under judgment, and it just got burnt to the ground. And if you think about it, chewing locusts, swarming locusts, all these things had come against Judah. Complete decimation. And then we read in Joel 2:25, it says, I will restore to you the years the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust.
my great army which I sent among you. He says, I will restore. When you look at that, you look at that in Joel 1 through 4, you say, that is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. He is the restorer of lost hope. He is the restorer. But we've stepped into a realm of total dependence on our warrior and conquering King, King Jesus. It's a realm in which desperate people crave the bread of life and have an intense desire to drink the poured out wine of his presence continually. He's calling us to feast on him. We are desperate people who have left the pleasures of this world behind and have set off to pursue him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are seeking after the hidden manna. Jesus said, I have food you know not of. He has come to refine us, to make us like pure gold, to offer up a holy sacrifice of praise. And we look, if I can get there, at John 6:1-14. And this is the account where Jesus takes the loaves and the fish and he multiplies it. And this is what it says in John 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. It says, then a great multitude followed him because they had seen his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And then it says, Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude, all these people coming toward him, so hungry. And he said, Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he was testing Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, we have 200 denarii worth of bread. It's not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have just a little. It's a poverty mentality. It's a poverty mentality. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was so much grass, there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, he broke the bread, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So they were all filled. All 5,000 people were filled. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so nothing shall be lost. That word lost is render useless or wasted. Can I tell you today that nothing in your life is going to be wasted? As you go through your mind and you think about the loss and you think about the pain and you think about the rejection, God is going to turn it all into power. It's all going to be poured out on the earth in power. But the mind-blowing thing here is how we have a tendency to live below what God wants. Because the disciples wanted to send all of these people away, 5,000 people away. They were hungry and they were thirsty and they were starving and they were weak. And the disciples were like, they were done for today. We're tired. Just send them away. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. And there was a miracle right there. And the disciples could not see it. But I pray, blind eyes be opened. Our eyes be opened to the spiritual things that are all around us. That there's angels all around us. That the host of heaven is all around us. That Jesus is here today. That the Spirit of God is here today. Literally says that all those people waiting beside that pool, they were waiting for the angels to come and stir the water so they could get in. And Jesus, when he was in that desert place, it says, after he was weak and tired, it says, there's angels that came and ministered to Jesus. God wants to use the whole host of heaven. Jesus having the preeminence. Jesus being at the top and Jesus being number one. But nothing will be wasted. The supernatural is right in their midst, but they were unaware of the potential of the supernatural. Christ is revealed through broken vessels as he broke the bread and 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 he broke the bread. The bread was multiplied because it was broken, and nothing was wasted. He's looking to make us like pure gold, to offer up a holy sacrifice of praise. A holy sacrifice of praise. In Malachi 3:1-3, this is what it says. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me and the Lord whom you seek. He said he will suddenly come to his temple. Suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in which you delight. Behold, he is coming. Behold, he is coming. It says, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. He is working out the actual manifestation of this through the dismantling of the flesh real time. Adam has to die in this realm for Christ to be unveiled. Jesus is looking to see his image in us in the earth. And I was talking to somebody back there before we started up here, and he said, I keep getting this word for the last 3 weeks. It's break. It's break. And it's break. And we all like to have our lives in order, and we like to have it compartmentalized, and we like to have our ducks in the row. But Jesus comes, and he comes to break up those things, because he knows when they're broken up that the real you can come forward and walk out of those flames and walk out of that fire. He is looking for the full manifestation of the body of Christ in this earth. It's literally the revelation that he is here moving, breathing, touching through us, his body, his body. He died for this to happen. He died for this to happen. But the refiner's fire has come. It started to me 8 weeks ago. And it literally has not stopped. And he will get his reward from the inside of me. Fire upon fire upon fire. That little word, that the word endure means, can you contain it or can you hold it in? It literally says, who can contain it or who can hold it in? Who can stand? That word means literally, who can withstand his coming? Who can stand against it? Listen to Romans 8:12. This is what it says. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will also... Hold on. You will also live. Consecration. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we cry, Abba, Father, Father, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Glorified together. And then he says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. There's been a great groaning going forth. There's been a great intercessor. The intercessors are being called forward to pray and to groan. And if you find yourself in those places where you're praying and you're groaning, understand that you're literally ushering in the second coming of Christ, because he is coming back. He's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish. You say, why am I being washed? Why is he after me? Why is he relentless? He won't relent until he gets it all. He won't relent until he gets it all. He's going to keep coming, and he's going to keep coming, and he's going to keep coming until he has it all. He will get his reward. First Corinthians 15:42 says this, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Brokenness precedes resurrection. I was thinking about when Lazarus came forth from the tomb, and Jesus said, you know what? you got to get the stone out of the way. You got to roll the stone out of the way. And then I was thinking, you know, when he was actually resurrected, what happened? It said literally people came up out of their graves. So no stones had to be rolled away because resurrection life is effortless. Effortless. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit, Jesus Christ. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. You see, why has the refiner's fire come? Why has the fire come on my life? Because he is waiting for that dross to come to the top and skim off that dross and look down into you and see the reflection of his face. It literally says the creation is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. Literally, the creation is groaning for the unveiling of Jesus Christ in you. I'm going to tell you, this is straightforward. You know what the creation is waiting for you? He's waiting. The creation is waiting for Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God on the inside of us to come out and touch and heal and resurrect and speak life. This is what the whole creation is groaning for. It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And let me remind you that it says we are seated with him in heavenly places. It does not say that we are seated beside him. We are in Christ. So where he is seated, we are seated. Why does it say we are joint heirs with him? Because we are. And everything that he paid for on that cross is ours. Ours. Everything. He is waiting for the body of Christ to rise up to the full stature and walk through this earth. As also we born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3. See, he's looking for brokenness because he wants the world to see the power that is from him. That it can't possibly come from something on the inside of us. It makes no sense. It makes no sense how God can move through something that says out of order. We all have signs on our chest and it says out of order. But the Spirit of God comes and rips off the sign. And he says, you're not out of order anymore. I'm going to come on the inside of you. And now everything's going to come in line and it's going to be in order, in sequence. Mountains are being flattened. Valleys are being raised. There's being made a straight path for God to ride in, for Jesus to ride in. Do you know the other day I was literally crying out to God and I was literally yelling, open the first seal. And I looked and I looked to see what that was. And the first seal is literally Jesus coming as conqueror. Jesus coming on a white horse. And it says he's coming to conquer. And can I tell you something? He's coming to conquer through you and I. Listen, there's billions of people on this earth. Jesus isn't going to be somewhere off. He's moving through his body, being the head of his body. He's coming through his body to move throughout this earth. And I got this revelation. You know how COVID kind of spread through a virus? Why do we think that God can't spread the Spirit of God through this whole earth? Listen, the virus moved from state to state and country to country and the whole world, and COVID was over the whole world. I guess what? COVID's going to be canceled. It's canceled, and the Spirit of God is now going to move from person to person to person, from breath to breath, to city to city, to state to province to country, and it's going to consume the whole world. The glory of God is going to literally cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. He's covering us. He's coming through us. Man, he said, when you talk about the kingdom of God, Don't go look out here and out over there and think it's over here or somewhere over there. That's religion! That's religion! Religion teaches you that you are somehow apart from Him. When He's like, you move and live and have your being inside of me. You are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. How much closer can we get to God? He says, as I am, so are you in this world. We're waiting for Jesus to do something, and He's like, I want to do it through you. Through you. Second Corinthians 3 says this, sir, verse 7, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had some form of glory, had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. There is an excelling glory that is here. There's a glory that excels. For if what was passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. It says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. When Jesus died and was resurrected, the veil that prevented people from getting to the Father was ripped from top to bottom. It was ripped open. And now we have direct access to heaven. We have direct access to the glory that excels. You say, what does that mean? That means that the body of Christ is not going to be sick and depleted and hungry. No, He's coming to fill His body to overflowing. It's not a little dabble, do you? But their minds were blinded because of that veil. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, we are not walking around like Moses with some veil over our face. We're walking around with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the thing that terrifies the enemy. You know what terrifies the enemy? For each and every one of us in here to come into our rightful place, our rightful inheritance as sons and daughters of God. He's fine with us going to church every Sunday and going on Wednesday and singing a song or two. What he's terrified of is for Jesus to actually start moving through us and touching people and seeing them come alive again. Yeah. He could care less about the other stuff. He just does not want us to wake up. Because, bros, when we wake up, when the light comes on, I had a dream the other day. And all these demonic forces, they were in hearses, and they were like extended hearses. They were real long, and they were roaming through the streets. They were going through the streets. And I remember, I was like, someone's got to get me a gun. Someone handed me a gun, and I was like, poof! And I shot it, and and then the next scene of it was this devil tried to come after me, and I wrestled it a little bit, and I got on top of its head, and I had this knife, which at that point I didn't even realize what it was, but it was the sword of the Spirit. It was the sword of the Word. And I took it, and I jammed it down in the top of his head, and I did a jerking motion, and his head split wide open. And you know what I saw? I saw an on-off button. And you know what I did to the on-off button? I switched it off. And when I switched it off, he fell like a wet sack of potatoes. So the So the power of God, the power, the manifestation, we're not just talking about it. He says, I don't want you to just talk about it anymore. I want you to actually be the manifestation. I want you to be me in the earth. I want you to take your rightful place as sons and daughters and kings and priests. And the enemy has lied and lied and lied to us over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And Jesus just cries out and he says, this is what I died for. I will always have the preeminence. I will always be the one on the throne. But I invite you to climb up and sit with me. That is why I adopted you. That is why I connected with you. I didn't just connect you to save you and just live the life and go to heaven. I connected with you so that you could be me here. Millions and millions and millions of sons and daughters of God coming into their rightful inheritance, coming into the power of God, coming. Listen, this is how the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth. He's covering the earth through our voice. It's a sound of many trumpets. It's a sound of many waters coming from God himself. That's why he says, awake, O ye sleeper. Awake, O ye sleeper. Lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Your redemption. The restoration of everything. The restoration of all things. The restoration. 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 But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And you can hear people say, it's blasphemy. It is not blasphemy for a child of God to come into his rightful inheritance that Jesus died for. I took the crown of thorns and the spear in my side and the nails in my feet and the nails in my hands for you to move in this glory, for you to move in a greater glory that excels, that's bigger and higher than the greater glory. What does it end up saying? It says, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, from glory to glory to glory to glory. Listen, the body of Christ is going out with a bang. The body of Christ is not going to somehow be dived down and start swirling down and like sink into this muck and mire. The body of Christ is literally going to be a shining city on a hill. Why? Because we're taking our rightful place and we're not living as paupers anymore. We're not living as in poverty anymore. We're actually living in a heavenly mindset. We're actually living according to this heavenly man. We're actually living according to the image of him who died for us. Nothing will be wasted. Nothing will be wasted. Nothing. Nothing. You say, what about this? Nope, not that thing either. What about when this happened? That's not going to be wasted. But that was a terrible thing that happened to me. That's not going to be wasted. He's coming with clouds. Oh my. So in Acts 3, Lord, we glorify you right here, right now. We thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, and you are the beginning and the end, and you are the A and the Z, and you sit on the throne. And our gaze is on your eyes, your flaming, those flaming eyes of fire. And that's where our gaze is at. Our gaze is on you. And this is what Acts 3 says. Starting in verse 1, it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple of the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. Had been lame since he came out of his mother. Didn't even know how to walk. Never even experienced the idea of coming up and standing and doing this. And people walked past him, day after day after day after day after day. And they gave him a coin here and a coin there and this here and there because he sat there begging. Meanwhile, lame from his mother's womb, who they laid daily, every day, they drug him out and set him in front of that gate, the gate of the temple, which is called beautiful. You know what the word beautiful there means? It's blooming. It's a gate of blooming. Belonging to the, literally, this is what it means, belonging to the right hour or season. Blooming, timely, flourishing. That's what that gate is. It's a gate. Begging from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John, seeing Peter and John, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms, and fixing his eyes on them with John and Peter said, look at us. Look at us. You got to understand what's going on here. They didn't go up to this man that was lame, and they didn't say, hey, buddy, you know what? You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. See, this is where we get in trouble. This is where we get in trouble. The Jesus that was on the inside of them, looking out through their eyes. John said, look at us, because Jesus had taken residence on the inside of him. And that was the body of Christ. And they said, look in my eyes. Behold in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Being transformed into that same image. You say, why has he come after me? Why has he come after me with this fire? Why has he broken me up? Because he wanted to take who you were, break you, and then fill you and build you all over again as the actual body of Christ, as Jesus walking the earth. Millions and millions and millions of Jesuses. This is what terrifies the enemy. Again, the enemy is not terrified by us sitting in church. The enemy is terrified us actually waking up to our true inheritance and actually ministering out of this place called heavenly places. Seated with him in heavenly places, because that's what he died for. Look at the Jesus in me. Seeing Peter and John. You know, it's crazy, right? So Jesus goes into his hometown in Nazareth. And the Son of God, who in various places it says everybody that came to him was healed. He goes back to his hometown, nobody gets healed. Nobody gets healed. Why? Because they didn't recognize Jesus. But the world's about to wake up. And I said, CNN and MSNBC and Fox News and ABC and NBC, they're going to have to report on this thing. And I saw Stephen A. Smith. I don't know who all you know who that is. He's like a sports announcer, but has a blog thing. And like, he like has this fluid speech, and he's known for his fluid speech. And he saw what was going on and had to report what was going on because it was so big. And he was stuttering. He couldn't even talk about it because he was just, his mind was absolutely blown. He couldn't even get his thoughts straight. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on them with John and Peter, said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. That is the body of Christ moving forward. What we do have, which is Jesus, we give to you. A thirsty world, a world that needs fed, and he's grinding us up for food. You say, why am I being ground up? Why am I broken? Why am I in this place? Because he is literally breaking you up to feed the nations. He's breaking you up and getting you into broken places. Because we all know when we have it all together, we don't really want to deal with all that. But when you're broken and can associate with other people, guess what? You want to go in and you want to mend the brokenness. That's why Jesus called a bunch of disciples that were confused. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know where they were going. He's like, you're perfect. You're perfect for the kingdom. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do get, I give you in the name. This is the kicker. In the name of Jesus Christ. I don't come in Ben's name. They didn't come in Peter's name or John's name. He said, look at us in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Jesus on the inside of them and the reverberation of their voice and goes out and hits this dude and everything has to come back into order. Everything. Everything. Everything has to line up with the Word of God. We need a word from heaven. We need words from heaven. We need direct rhema words from heaven. And he took him by the right hand. Dude had never walked before, lame since birth. And it says he took him up and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately the Spirit of God just goes through him like a lightning bolt. His feet and ankles receive strength. And so he ends up, he's never run before, but now he's leaping. He's leaping up. He stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. You want to talk about a creative, crazy miracle? Yeah, you would think, you know, we're going to have to take him to the hospital and he's going to have to learn to walk again in 6 months. No, they said, look at us. The dude receives strength from his ankles and his body and ends up leaping. Nobody has to teach him to walk because the Spirit of God has come on the inside of him and the Holy Spirit's like, this is how you do it. You get up, you stand up, you walk, you leap, you move. Six months of rehab happened in a second. This is where we're at. We are in a moment of acceleration. I was on the way to the Shane's Purr thing on Saturday, and I was getting in my spirit that there's this momentum happening, and it's going to get faster and faster. And I looked to my left, and there was a sign on the side of the road. It was like 10 by 15 feet, and it said, buckle up. Buckle up. And then I started thinking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweating great drops of blood and in anguish. And the disciples were sleeping and he's in anguish. And he makes a key thing. He says, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And there was the yes. And after the yes, there was this momentum. And it was painful for him. And it was torturous for him. But there was a momentum that happened. There was a domino effect. And the domino hit the domino, hit the domino, hit the domino. And then he ends up on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And then he's resurrected. Momentum, 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 momentum. And his brokenness on the cross led to resurrection. Resurrection power. Brokenness. We're finishing here. Leaping up, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? All the preeminence, all the glory, all the honor goes back to Jesus. But we will take all of that within ourselves in this treasure that's on the inside of us in this earthen vessel. Do you know when Jesus was in Gethsemane, Gethsemane literally means wine press or oil press, and he was being pressed, and he was being pressed, and he was being pressed in that spot, and it said he was sweating great drops of blood. He was sweating great drops of blood. But that oil press, what they would do is they would put clay pots underneath the oil press, and they would put the clay pots underneath, and the oil would drip down into these clay pots and fill these pots. And I just thought, this idea that we are earthen vessels, we are clay, we are broken. Why? Because when we're filled and ministering and moving in the Spirit of God, the people will look and they will say, how is that happening? And what we're going to say is we're going to say that this Jesus that this Jesus, whose name is above every name, is the one that's worked through us. It's not by our own power or by our own might, but through the Son of God that has moved into this territory, this building, because we know in the Old Testament, he lived in temples made with hands, but he says, I'm not moving into temples made with hands anymore. I'm moving with temples with skin on and muscles and bones, and I'm coming up on the inside of people and inside of them, and I'm going to move through them. Or why look so intently at us, though by our own power and godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. We're almost done. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Peace, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The faith which comes through him. It's his faith. It's not even our faith. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as you did also your rulers. But these things which God foretold by the mouth of his holy prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. And he says, repent. Think differently. Therefore, be converted and return, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of the refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that they may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the restoration of all things. Y'all can stand. The prayer people, if you want to come up. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that you are tired and exhausted and fatigued, overburdened, overloaded. He said, I will give you rest. I will refresh you. I will make you at ease. I will help you recover and collect strength. Lord, we bless what you're doing in this house today. We bless you. We bless the way that you're moving and going to be moving through your people in these coming days, Lord. We know we're just at the beginning. We know our feet are just beginning to wade into these waters. But we know, Lord, that your promise is that the waters, this glory is going to cover the earth like the water covers the sea. And we are so thankful and so honored to be a part of this move. As your spirit gains momentum and strength through this world. Lord, we thank you that you said you're going to restore all things, restore, restoration, recompense, and repair. Lord, we welcome this fire. We welcome this fire, and we welcome this burning. We welcome this brokenness, because we know that when we are weak, you move strong through us. That when we are weak, you move strong through us. I encourage you today, if you're in a place where God has hit you right between the eyes today, hits you right in the chest today, and you need to come up and you just need, or wherever you're at, and just give it all to Jesus. He's just looking for total surrender. He's looking for you to release your hands of the things. He's looking for you to trust him and not trust the things of this world, not trust yourself even. We thank you for this water, Lord. It's come above our heads. And that your spirit is moving like the wind to push us to and fro where you would have us. We thank you for divine appointments, Lord. I just pray for each one here today, Lord, for divine appointments. Divine appointments. Jesus.
So I'm going to be obedient and do this, but I've been a Christian since I've been 12 years old. And, you know, life happens. And we just take on a lot of things, but I feel like he's uncapping wells within us, and there's no more blockages anymore. And I was thinking of this bursting forth. Right now, I just come against every lie of the enemy that tells us we're not good enough in the kingdom, that has spoken lies. This is what he's done to me. I'm being very real right now, in broken pieces. But we don't accept those anymore. We accept our position with Jesus, who paid the ultimate price. And I was getting this the last couple weeks, that we pray that he gets the reward for his suffering. Well, what does it look like for him to get the reward? The reward is for us to live in the position that he has purchased for us. And I was getting Isaiah 35 back there, 3 through 10. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, no shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I just pray right now that if you're feeling that, like I've been feeling that clog, come up for prayer. Do not go another minute without having the Lord touch you in this place. He wants his reward, and his reward is for you to live in freedom.